Good morning, Quarry Rock. And Holly is right. I was fortunate enough, I was sitting at Celebrate when Pastor Keith at that time was saying, I need some volunteers because Pastor Milt is going to plant a church in Del Rapids. And he asked for 6 months. And some of you have heard this before because I don't know what 6 months was. It was like 11 years later I left. And I left only for one reason, and it's my two kids there. They said to me, I told Milt this, I said, when they ask me why I don't go to their church, then I will go to their church. And so I drove the 70 miles every Sunday to come here and loved it here. And if you want to, you can show that first slide. You can see that they're a little bit bigger now. And they said to me, I'm a little bit smaller then. What I can say is I had a little more hair and it was darker colored than what it is today, thanks to them. But what I'm happy to say is, on his Father's Day, and happy Father's Day, is that both of them were dedicated here. Okay? They were both dedicated here. And then last year at 13, Easton, who's my oldest, he professed his faith in Christ at church. And this year, Drew, my youngest, also did the same. And so it's happy that we went from here to dedication to what we did there because of some things that Christ has done for me. And just to kind of catch you up on us, for the last 5 years, I have got up every morning shortly after 5, left the house around 5:30, and drove 110 miles one way to work because I was a clinical director at a mental health and substance use disorder facility. And until recently, that's what I was. And it's a hard enough job as is, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But the toxicity or the culture that I had in my last place, I'm driving home 2 weeks ago tomorrow, and I called my wife, and it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. And she goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm driving home. Really? And I said, I resigned today. I did not plan on going to work to resign. It had been relatively difficult for the last 8 to 10 months. And so that was my knee-jerk reaction. Don't know. You guys can pray. I have no idea what I'm going to do. I might be. I had a best friend send me, you can greet at Walmart, sent me the picture, all that kind of stuff. But when I told Easton and Drew that I'd left, the first thing they said, oh, good, now you won't miss things. Because I left around 5:30 in the morning, and I got home around 7 something in the evening, because I still had 100 miles to drive back home when I got done with work. And so as we talk about fathers and talk about Father's Day, I want to talk about presence in the life of the children. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the fathers in this room. I thank you for this church. Lord God, I just ask that you watch over us and guide us, and that your words are coming through me. It's not my words, Lord God, it's yours. I thank you for the ability you give to us each day to give you praise about past, present, future, yesterday, praising for yesterday, Lord God. I also thank you, Lord God, for the ability you give us to lift you up in prayer. And you already know what our prayers are, but we're saying them before you. And you give us that ability. I ask, Lord God, that you give this message to the church and they can hear it and it resonate with them and that we can go and follow you. I say this in your son's most precious name. Amen. I thanked Tim when he asked me 3-4 months ago if I would do this today. And I'm thanking you now for asking me to come back. That's awesome. It's been a while since I've been here. How important are our Father's words? How valuable is his presence? How necessary is his influence? And how necessary is his time with his children? Today is Father's Day, and today, for that, for many, it's difficult because of broken relationships. Both in relationships with their earthly father, though, not broken relations with their heavenly father. It's for many hard to face the fact, the reminder that dad is gone, no longer with us. Hey, it's for those of you who don't experience that or have had a great relationship with your dad, cherish that. Cherish that time because others wish that they had what you have. Dads are important. Dads are necessary. Now, I'm a psychologist, so you're going to get some stats. Not always pretty ones, but I'm going to give you some stats. 63% of the youth, okay, 63% of youth suicide are from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 90%. 85% of children show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists come from fatherless homes. It's a number. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 75% of adolescent patients that come either into mental health facilities or substance use disorders facilities come from fatherless homes. Columbia University found that living in a two-parent household with a poor relationship with the father, that 68% were more likely to smoke or drink or use drugs compared to the teens in two-parent households. 85% of all youth that are in prison come from fatherless homes. Daughters of single parents without a father are involved in 53% more likely to be involved in teenage marriages. 70% more likely to have children as teenagers, and 92% more likely to divorce. Children with involved loving fathers are significantly more likely to do well in school, have healthy self-esteem, pro-social behavior, exhibit empathy, and avoid the high-risk behaviors such as drug use, criminal activity, truancy, and such. The numbers are staggering. 24 million children live without their biological fathers. That's one out of every three children. Okay? One out of every three children. In the 1950s, the majority of children grew up with their married parents. Now, today, we have this new norm. You see it on Modern Family, on TV, you see it on these shows, and we have created some instability, some dysfunction, acceptable fatherless homes. Fathers, our job is essential. Our role is not only necessary, but vital to the lives of those that depend on you. As much as we never meant to live life without God, our Heavenly Father, none of us were spent to go through life and face it without Dad. It's a relationship that every child needs, and I might add, every child desperately wants. You may not know this, but Proverbs is primarily a collection of sayings of wisdom from a father to his son. There's other stuff in there, yes, but many, many of the Proverbs, the father wants to teach the son and to warn him about the pitfalls and the dangers of life. And here are just a few. When you look at Proverbs 4, 1 through 4, listen, my sons, to a father's instructions, pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake anything. For I too was a son to my father, still tendered and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words and with all your heart keep my commands and you will live. Chapters 10 through 15. Listen, my son, accept what I say and the years of your life will be many. I will instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set forth on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it and do not travel on it. Turn from it and go your way. Verse 20 through 27, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, and everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep from corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and steadfast to your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and keep your foot from evil. And there are many more. The dad who wonders if he's a teacher, he needs to be reminded of this wisdom handed down in these verses. The Bible teaches us important lessons to share with our children, preparing them for life. Thank God for fathers who not only gave us and taught us this, but thank God for fathers who are involved in the lives of their children. I've said this before at church, and maybe in my older age, I am quiet enough to now I'm listening. I said this before. I've never heard God talk to me. And I always follow that up with, because I don't shut up long enough to listen. But that's what I said. Well, I'm driving one morning, and I'm nudged. That's what I call it, but I'm nudged. And it said, you need to read your Bible more. And I do. I have a daily devotion. I've got a whole process of things. But I've never read my Bible like read my Bible. And one thing I'll tell you is I'm not going to start in Numbers and read that one. That's probably one I'm going to skip. You know, but so I actually reached out to Milt and to Tim and to other people and said, where do you want to start at? And Milt sent me to James. And so I started in reading James. And I read this. Well, it wasn't too long afterwards. Easton came to me and he goes, Dad, can you get me a daily devotional? And I think that because of some of the things that we do, me listening a little bit, some of the things that we do, he saw this. So if you think that they're not watching or you're not teaching, you are. And I want you to understand that. A child without a dad is like a person in a foreign language without a guide. Okay, that's an understanding. Two things I want to share with dads today. Two things I want to encourage you to do. Number one, don't be afraid of discipline. Okay, and I'll talk about it and say, I'm not meaning corporal punishment, because some of us remember that our dads would say, okay, go out and pick a switch. Probably a lot, right, Travis? But they would say, you know, go get that or go get your belt, you know, or something like that. And that's not what I'm talking about, although sometimes I think that that's okay. Words, the right words, not belittling, not cursing, not bad language, is good discipline. But here's the thing about discipline, and you've heard this. It's going to be harder on me than it is on you. And I never really understood it. And I have had to, I'll admit it, I've had to spank. But when I have spanked, usually I'll bring Drew, because it's not Easton. No, I will bring them in to my office afterwards, and I'll say, you know, and I won't apologize for the spanking. I'll just say I'm sorry, because I also think that that's a good thing for dads to teach them, is to apologize and admit when you're wrong and say you're sorry. I wasn't sorry that I had to do that. I'm sorry that it had to get that far. But then discipline is okay because it's corrective. Here's the discipline I think that is hard on parents is, say we ground them from technology. That's the new word in our, that's the word in our house. iPad, Xbox, phones, whatever, you know. Ground them from technology and they keep asking for it. Well, can I look at this? Can I check the scores? Can I do this? I'm picking on Drew. Drew will look at a bird from Northeast Iowa, and can I look at that bird? Can I see your phone to look at that? He will make stuff up just so he can touch technology because he's addicted to technology. But here's the thing. It's harder on us to stay true to that discipline. Because it's easier on us to say, okay, go play Xbox, and now I can do what I want to do. That's the discipline I'm talking about. You know, and explaining that and being consistent. I'm sorry, but sometimes the dads want to be the good guy, the friend, and that just makes mom have another child. He's just older. Sorry. At our house, I get the, are you sure you should be watching that? Or are you sure you should be doing this? Because Easton, Drew, and I like to watch what we call shoot 'em up shows. Okay? So shoot 'em up shows tend to have a little bit of violence sometimes. And sometimes that violence goes with a little bit of bad language. And she goes, are you sure you should be watching this? And I go, yeah, reluctantly, we turn it off. And then it just made her the bad guy. Or the disciplinarian. And so I ask dads, I implore dads to be that consistent disciplinarian, because guess what? The respect will come. They will respect you for that consistent discipline. They will respect you for being part of their lives. Don't be afraid to discipline. Sometimes I think that we as dads want to be that fun parent, that good guy. Mom gets to be the bad guy. She gets to set the rules, enforce the rules, hands out the punishment, the consequences. And then we become that other child. We need to be the man. We need to be the father. Hebrews 12, 7 through 11 talks about discipline in this way. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you're not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate. Not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best. God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So, to me, this passage assumes that if dads are doing their job, their job is raising their children, and we as human fathers have disciplined us and we've been respected for it. This assumes that fathers care more about about helping their children in their lives, not just by being liked by them. Now, this isn't a warrant for dads to be abusive, as I said, because fathers can be harsh. Many fathers are unkind. There are lots of dads who would rather curse and talk bad and belittle instead of saying five intelligent words of leading and directing them. And my response to that is, come on. Come on, man, let's be better than that. I taught developmental psych for quite some time, and I always acknowledge this. And from toddlerhood to about 6 years old, and parents, I think that you can probably hear, you recognize this. We knew everything. We were pretty dang smart. We were like the go-to. And then this kindergarten teacher came. And then she or he knew everything. Well, the kindergarten teacher said this. And they would, and you'd go, okay, I'm not so smart anymore. And then you get to be smart again for a little while until they turn 13 or 14. And then when you hand them a flip phone that has no internet, and it's not an iPhone 16, and it can't do anything but call and maybe text, then you're the dumbest people in the world. And you stay that way for a long time. Please pray for my family. They're 13 and 14. Okay. Then it changes, because we talked about this in developmental psych. It changes at about 28 to 32, 34, and we become smart again. And it wasn't that we were any different. They just saw it. And they recognized it, or they had kids. So, again, 13 and 14, please pray for us. Because we've got, like, 16 years of being stupid. I'm going to pick on Drew again. So Drew got the flip phone last night. And he goes, come on, Mom. That's in bed. Because we were at this festival, and we want to know where they were at. And come on, I can't carry that. Well, if it was an iPhone, it's too bulky. A flip phone's too bulky. And she goes, well, if it was an iPhone 16, it'd be okay, wouldn't it? Well, yeah. So it's those things that we have to look at when we're dealing with we're dumb for a little while, and hopefully they'll figure out that we're smart again. We have a responsibility to be good examples. They're little sponges. I heard somebody say today, this morning, that they hear everything. They hear everything, good, bad, and different, and they repeat it. Sometimes they don't repeat it exactly the way we said it, but they repeat it. And we have a responsibility They're absorbing every spoken word, every action model for them. So are we showing them the way, or are we just letting them know that we're upset? Let me ask you this again. Are we showing them the way to live and react to circumstances? Are we correcting their behavior, or are we just expressing our frustration and teaching them nothing good, nothing constructive, nothing helpful? Number two, never, ever forget that you represent another father. That we are, as fathers, a representation of our Heavenly Father. The relationship that we can have with God, every father is also a son. Did you ever think about that? That every father is also a son. Face the truth as well. You might not be able to love your children. This is hard. This is hard for me to comprehend the very first time I was thinking about this. Nobody can love my boys more than Moz and myself. But that's not true. Our Heavenly Father loves them far more than we do. We're just here for a short period of time to show them who our Heavenly Father is. And that gives us a great responsibility. So my question is, how is your relationship with your Heavenly Father? Dads, how close are you to your Father who is in heaven? Are you being trained by His discipline? Are you being shaped, led by His mighty hand? Because I guarantee you this, your relationship or lack thereof will be passed down to your children. It was talked about in the legacy. Going back to that church and remembering what I believe it was uncle and father said at that and did at that church. It's a legacy that they leave and they pass down. They will get to know their Father in heaven through you and how you choose to lead them to the throne of grace or to the throne of judgment. As I prepared today's message, I thought about the Lord's Prayer, which begins, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." Do you know what the word hallowed means? It's an old word. We don't use it very often. You know, the word hallowed means sacred or holy, as in the church is on hallowed ground. Okay, it means to be set apart for holy use or set apart as something divine and sacred. To be respected and treated with reverence. And it made me wonder what would happen if we treated that and our process of being a father that way too. If we treated the title and position of the father that way again. Hallowed be your name. Which means something to respect, to treat as a sacred duty, a special task or responsibility that is not taken lightly. I wonder how many children might have well-adjusted and blessed lives of the fathers if we fathers would take our role more seriously. So that the very name Father is seen as holy, sacred, and revered. I wonder how many children might come to know their Heavenly Father. And if this was true, how many of them would not stray from the church, but grow up in the church and grow to be leaders of the church in the next generation. I wonder how many of society's problems might be solved if dads would step up and do what they are called to do. Fathers, you are so critical. You're much more than a breadwinner. You're much more than a provider. You're much more than the guy who teaches them about sports, teaches them about trucks and working hard, about being tough. You're an example of how to live, how to be a conqueror, a warrior who stands his ground and fights for others and what is right. You give us the courage to be more than what we are and to never stop trying. Your words and your influence are of an infinite worth that can never be replaced. Don't give up your position without fighting and work to be your father. I'm going to read to you a quote and then I'm going to tell you who said it. Some of you will go, okay, I know this person. Some of you are going to go, I don't know who he's talking about. Okay. A small child waits with impatience for the arrival home of a parent. She wishes to relate some sandbox experience. She's excited to see and to share the thrill that she experienced that day. The time comes, the parent arrives. Beaten down by the day's stress and the day's work, the parent often replies, "Not now, honey. I'm busy. Go watch TV. Quite often, words that are said at home, go watch TV, go play Xbox, go iPad, okay? Those words are spoken most often in the household today. If not now, when? Later. However, later on never comes for many, and the parent fails to communicate at the very earliest of ages. Now, she's 15, and glassy look in her eyes. Honey, do you need to sit down and talk? She responds, too late. And he says, love has passed me by. The person that was being quoted was Robert Keyshawn. Some of you don't know who Robert Keyshawn is. Robert Keyshawn is Captain Kangaroo. And some of you know who Captain Kangaroo is. And for the little ones that don't know who Captain Kangaroo is, he did children's shows and led children's shows. So he should have been doing this stuff. I want to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you do for me, for my family, and for this church, Quarry Rock. You know everything and will guide us in your will. Please help us to keep your will. Help us, Father, to know your will and keep us on the path that you have set for us. Give us a desire to stay true to your path and forgive us, Jesus, at times that we have strayed from you. Be with our friends and family who are at crossroads and don't know what to do next. May your spirit guide us and make the best decision clear. Thank you for today. Thank you for caring about the details. Thank you for the fathers in this room. Thank you for this church. Thank you for not believing any request is too small. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.